Devio, Moksha Yeshyami Masucha.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. Maline mochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitam ritasnanam samsara malanashanam. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Gita Mahatmya 3. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanya Shastra Vistarai Yaswayam Padmanavasya Mukha Padma Vinishrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice, because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gita Mahatmya 4. Bharatamrita sarvasvam Vishnu Bhaktrabhinishritam Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punarjammana Vidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Gita Mahatmya 5. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord, but from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Sarvopanishado gavo dogda gopala nandana partovatsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gitamritam mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a coward boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Gita Mahatmya 6. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantrastasya namani yani karmapi ekam tasya devasya seva. Gita Mahatmya 7. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, ekam shastram devaki putra gitam, let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko deva devaki putra eva, let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko mantrastasya namani, and one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapiye kam tasya devasya seva, and let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of God. So, also there is a book called Gita Mahatmya, where Lord Shiva explained to his wife Parvati the glories of Bhagavad Gita and how each chapter has a story, how some people by hearing or reciting this chapter they got Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom, how they got free from all their sinful reactions. So of course there is no time to describe all this, but I will describe few of those wonderful leelas in this Gita Mahatmya. In glorification of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that one very materialistic businessman, he went to travel to do some business. Although he was from Brahmin family, he was very fallen. He was addicted to intoxication, gambling, stealing, lying, illicit sex, so many bad things, meat eating. And he, by doing some tricks and things, he got a lot of money from his business activities. But then, while he was coming back to his home, he sat down under a tree to take some rest. But then some thieves saw him and attacked him and killed him and stole all his money. So after some time, his son, who was a nice devotee of the Lord, noticing that his father was not coming back, he was very worried. So he went to search for his father, until one person told him, "Look, this is what happened to your father. We hear that he was, you know, healed like that." So he thought, "Well, let me go to Gaya to perform Shraddha ceremony for the welfare of my father." And while going to Gaya, he passed through that forest and sat under the same tree where his father was killed. And he started to recite the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. As soon as he finished reciting the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, a thunder sound came out of the sky, and he saw his father in the form of a ghost. He took a form of a ghost because he was very sinful, you know, when he died. So the father told the son, "My dear son, now by your mercy, by you reciting this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, now I'm going back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world." And he took the form of four-armed forms as Vishnu Dutta, and he blessed the son that, "My dear son, be always happy. Be always recite this chapter of Bhagavad Gita." And he went back to Vaikuntha. There is another very wonderful also lila about one Brahmin also. Actually, I'm not sure if it is the same one, but what happened is that this Brahmin was told by his father that my brother also was very sinful and is suffering in hell. Please, if you recite the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita for his well-being. So this Brahmin, he agreed and he started to recite this. He said, and other relatives also in hell. So he decided to recite for all of them. I say, "But why only them? All the living entities in hell, I will recite continuously the third chapter until they get free." So he went back to his hometown, and in front of the deity of Lord Krishna, he started to recite the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita continuously. Then one day, Lord Vishnu sent his messengers, the Vishnu Dutas, and asked them to bring Yamaraj to his abode. So they gave him an instruction. The instruction was that you must relieve all the conditioned soul from hell. Let them go. So Yamaraj immediately followed that instruction. All fallen souls left hell. And Yamaraj himself came with the Vishnu Dutas to the milk ocean, and pay his obeisances to the Lord and ask him, my dear Lord, you are so merciful, so kind. Now all fallen souls from hell are free. Now what is my occupation now? What I have to do now? I don't know what engagement I have. He's the most busy demigod in all the universe, because there are more sinful people than pious people in this world. So he's always very busy, but now he was completely free. So the Lord told him, you always engage, you are a great devotee of mine, you always engage in my devotional service, that will make me happy. Don't worry, very soon people will fill up the hell again. Because that's the way the world it is, you know. People are accustomed to these activities, so no matter how much they become free, others will come take their place. So, in this way, many other wonderful leelas and pastimes are described in relation to different chapters of Bhagavad Gita. But as we read here, also Prabhupada translated meditation on Bhagavad Gita by Shankaracharya. You know, it is very nice. I would like to read. O Bhagavad Gita, through the 18 chapters, thou showerest upon man the immortal nectar of the wisdom of the Absolute. O blessed Gita, by thee Lord Krishna himself enlightened Arjuna. Afterward, the ancient sage Vyasa included thee in the Mahabharata. O loving mother, destroyer of men rebirth, in the darkness of this mortal world, upon thee I meditate. Salutation to thee, O Vyas, the art of mighty intellect, and your eyes are larger than the petals of lotus petals of the full-blown lotus. It was thou who brightened this lamp of wisdom, filling it with the oil of the Mahabharata. I salute thee, O Krishna, O thou who art the refuge of ocean-born Lakshmi and all who take refuge at the lotus feet. Thou art indeed the wish-fulfilling tree. For the devotees, the one hand holds the staff for driving cows, and for the other hand is raised the thumb touching the tip of the four fingers, indicating divine knowledge. Salutation to thee, O Supreme Lord, for thou art the milker of the ambrosia of the Gita. So this is also a glorification of the Gita. And we can also describe some modern now stories in relation to Bhagavad Gita. I don't remember the place or the time, exact time, but at the fair the devotees were selling books, you know. They had put a big table with many books, and one man was looking at the books, and when he saw Bhagavad Gita he became very excited. He called his wife, come, this is the book I saw in my dream. And he opened the book and he saw Prabhupada's picture, and he was more excited. He told his wife, my dear wife, this old man appeared to me in a dream, and he will tell me three nights, one after the other, buy my Bhagavad Gita as it is. Three nights continuously I was dreaming like that. So finally I got this book, and he bought like as many books as he could buy, and I had to give my friends also this wonderful book, and he started to read Bhagavad Gita. Another time, once in Venezuela, South America, I was distributing Prabhupada's books. I met one man on the street, and he told me, I never visited your temple. I only bought Bhagavad Gita as it is from you. And after starting reading this book, I don't know why my life changed. I could not continue drinking or smoking or eating. I had to stop all these things. My friends start to laugh at me and say, what's wrong with you? What's happening to you? You stop doing all this party with us and all this. They say, I couldn't do any of those nonsense things anymore. After reading all this Bhagavad Gita, my life changed for good. And I'm hoping to continue like that for the rest of my life. So see how many wonderful modern stories about Bhagavad Gita, how people change their life by reciting this Bhagavad Gita. Also, we went to a TV program, interreligious dialogue, you know. So different religions were there, were discussing different things. Live TV program, thousands of people, you know, many people watching. And one fanatical religious man was criticizing us, you know, that you are a sect, this and that. And one Catholic priest started to defend us. He said, no, you don't speak like that. You don't know, you don't have information. How can you say this religion is a sect if it has 5,000 years old? It's older than our Christian religion. And besides that, their book, I have their book, is Bhagavad Gita. I have read this book. It's a very good book. I recommend you read this book before open your mouth. Like that, he said. And he was a Christian priest. He appreciated, you know, Bhagavad Gita, because such a pure knowledge, such pure nectar emanating from the lotus mouth of Lord Krishna, that anyone who hears this sound vibration immediately gets purified, and one attains devotion for the Lord. So if one gets the good habit of reciting daily Bhagavad Gita, some shlokas, whatever, one chapter, some devotee may go to recite it daily, one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So much benefit is there. So much benefit is there. So people don't know what is the best thing for them. Although here in, it is explained that they have one scripture, Bhagavad Gita, because so many scriptures people get confused. Like we were talking at lunch today that some Christian people approach sometimes the devotees to preach to them. No, you become Christian, it's good for you. and they said, they give different arguments, this, that, you know, about meat eating. No, one Bible says you can eat. Another place he said you should not eat. Prabhupada said himself, told one Christian like that, then your scripture is full of contradiction. How is that God said one time, one place, you should not kill, and another place say the opposite? So that's a contradiction. How is that? And the truth is that most of these scriptures, although holy, sometimes they are manipulated by men. So they change some things. Even Christian scholars agree that many words are translated in the wrong way. Some words in Aramaic or ancient Greek, they are broma trophe, which means food, and they have translated as meat or fish in the wrong way. So with me, you know, there are so many things there which are not so clear. But you read Bhagavad Gita, everything is so crystal clear. Krishna says very clearly, Patram pushpam palam toyami bhakta parayaschati. With love and devotion you offer me a flower, a leaf, a glass of water, you know, vegetarian food. If Krishna will ask for egg or fish or meat, do you love offer also? Once one reporter asked Prabhupada, are you a vegetarian, sir? No, we are not vegetarian. We are Krishnatarian. We only eat what Krishna eats, nothing else. So if Krishna is pleased to ask for this type of food, we only offer this food. That is love. Love means to offer whatever the Lord asks, not what we want. So this is the bhakti, the devotion explained in Bhagavad Gita, very clear message, very pure. And whoever hear and chant this message, his life becomes purified and successful. And the result we have seen in all these wonderful, you know, stories, that he can go back home, back to Godhead in this same lifetime. By developing just a little attachment, faith and devotion in the message of Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? So I would like to ask which shloka you like most of Bhagavad Gita? That you have learned it by heart and you like very much. You, for example.
922.
Please recite.
Can we start here?
Okay, let me help you. Here it is. Yes, I'm going to help you right now. Sarganam. No, that is the 10th chapter, sorry. Here it is. Okay. Mamdi Partha Vyapashritya. No, 932 you said? 22. 22. 922. Okay, that's very wonderful verse. Ananya Yajana Paryupasati Tishamitya Vyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamiham. You know the story behind this verse? Very wonderful story. You want to hear? There was one great pandit living in Jagannath Puri, and he was very attached to Bhagavad Gita. He will read Bhagavad Gita day and night and will teach to others and write commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. That was his only occupation. But he was very poor Brahmin. No money, no. And sometimes whenever he collect a little food with his wife, they will cook, offer to the Lord, and that will eat a little rice and dal in the evening. That's all. He was very poor. So one day, he was reading Bhagavad Gita and came to this same shloka. What this shloka say? But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Huh? That is the meaning. So this devotee, after reading, his name was Gita Pandya. After reading this shloka, he became a little doubtful. This last line, he thought, Yoga Kshema Bahamiham, means I personally carry what they need. Bring them what they need. He said, this maybe somebody else included this last line in the verse. Maybe Krishna didn't speak this last line, because I never heard that the Lord himself personally taking something to somebody in need. At least in my case, not like that. I'm dedicating all my life to Lord Krishna's service by reciting Bhagavad Gita, teaching Bhagavad Gita. But I'm myself in need. So maybe this last line wasn't spoken by Lord Krishna. So he took a red ink and touched that last. See what happened later. Though he told his wife, I'm going to teach Bhagavad Gita at the temple. I'm coming the evening, you know. Please wait. But I don't have any clothes to put on my chest. So please give me a piece of your sari. I don't have anything to put on. So she turned down a little piece of her sari for him to cover, you know. They were so poor. So he went, and at noontime, somebody was knocking at her door. And she opened a little bit, and she saw a young boy with two baskets full of fruit and vegetables, you know, hanging from a stick around on his back, you know, both sides. So she asked him, who are you? He said, oh, I am the disciple of your husband, and he hurriedly sent me here to bring this to you. Oh, I didn't know that my father has any disciple. Well, yeah, I am the first disciple, but please open the door, I have to read this for you. And see, he scratches my back by pushing me to come faster to this, to bring you all this. See, my back is bleeding, you know, because he scratches my back to send me, you know. Oh, how he can be so cruel. She came and cleans his back and accepted, you know, everything. She couldn't open first the door, because she said, I don't have anything to cover my head. She tore down part of a sari. The sari wasn't complete enough to cover her head. So the boy told her, don't worry, take my chadar. So he gave her a chadar. She covered her head with that. And then she let him in. And he left everything there. When Gita Pandya came in the evening, she already had a cooked very nice feast offered to the Lord, and she gave to her husband. From where all this came? She asked. Come on, you don't know? You sent all this through your that boy disciple. Boy disciple? I don't have any disciple. And you scratch his back, how you could be so mean to him? I don't understand what you're talking about. I didn't send anybody here. And then he started to realize, could be? He ran to his room and opened the Bhagavad Gita and looked at this shloka, and he saw that the red ink from the last line disappeared. Yoga kshema vahamiham. I personally carry what my devotee needs. So he immediately started to cry, and, you know, and told his wife, you are so fortunate. You have the darshan of the Lord. I am not so fortunate as you are. And they both started to cry and glorify the Lord. The Lord himself, Krishna, came to prove that his words are never false. Never false. Queen Kunti used to say, my dear Lord Krishna, even if the sun and the moon and the stars flaunt in the sky, but your word will never be false. Kamteya pratijarihi name bhakta pranashati. Declare it to the world, Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish. Why the Lord will not declare to himself? Why he is asking Arjuna to declare? Because if his devotee promised that, he will be more obliged to do. Because sometimes people will say, well, Krishna sometime may change, you know? Because when the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev, he promised that I will fight so strongly against Arjuna, I will force Krishna to break his promise of not to fight. I will force him to fight. So Duryodhana was happy. So he fought so bravely against Arjuna that Krishna became angry and stopped and took a wheel and was going to attack Bhishma. Bhishma was in ecstasy. Here is my Lord coming to take me. You know? But Arjuna tried to stop Krishna. You remember that picture? Beautiful picture. Tried to stop Krishna by holding his feet, his legs. And at that moment the council sounded the day ended, the war for that day ended up. So two things happened there. One thing is that Krishna wanted that the word of his devotee Bhishma is more true than his own word. So because his devotee Bhishma promised that, he was willing to give up his own word to fulfill his devotee's word. That one very important lesson. And also what he told Arjuna, that my devotee will never perish, I will protect. So Bhishma was the next day saying, oh, Krishna doesn't mind to break his word to protect his devotee Arjuna. So both things were done at the same time, simultaneously. So some people may say, then even sometimes Krishna asked to tell somebody a lie. Like for Yudhishthira Maharaj, he told, you say, you know, this Ashwatthama died. But once in Oklahoma City, one gentleman, old gentleman asked me this, if Krishna is the absolute truth, why is asking somebody to tell a lie? Why himself is telling a lie? I told him, that is never possible. Krishna will never tell a lie. Well, when he's caught stealing butter and yogurt, he denies, no, I'm not stealing. So how is that he's not denying? It is true, he's not stealing from anyone, because all the universe belongs to him. So how he can steal from anyone? You have to always have good argument to defeat any opposition. How you get all this good argument? Just by reading this wonderful book, you will get all arguments to defeat any opposition. So then how is it about Ashwatthama? The thing is, Krishna will never tell it is said in the Mahabharata that Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot will never touch the ground, always will be above the ground. But some commentators wrongly said that because he said this lie, Ashwatthama was killed, his chariot touched the ground. But it's not like that. That's not correct. The correct explanation is that because he doubted for 1 second to obey Krishna's order, that's why his chariot touched the ground. And was Ashwatthama actually dead? Yes. From the spiritual point of view, he was dead. Because he was enemy of the Pandavas and Krishna. He was spiritually dead. So Krishna was speaking from the spiritual point of view, not the material point of view. So he was saying the truth, and he was asking Yudhishthira to say also the truth. Never false, never lie, always the truth. But from different angles, you can explain, you can see. So it depends. Absolute truth is so big, so wide, we can't understand everything. Because Krishna is unlimited. If we are very limited, tiny, how we can understand everything about him? Not possible. Otherwise he stopped being unlimited. But if he is unlimited and he can't reveal himself to his devotees, then he also stopped being unlimited. So both things are there. Only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna we can get some knowledge about his glories. And if we chant sincerely this Bhagavad Gita every day and chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
All success in life is guaranteed by the Lord himself. So thank you very much for taking part in this wonderful yagya. Today is double auspicious day, because not only is Ekadasi, is also Gita Jayanti, so more powerful day to make spiritual advancement. And just by taking part in this yagya and glorifying the Lord, all blessings of the Lord will be upon all of us. Jai Sri Gita Jayanti ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Ekadasi ki jai, Gaura Prema ki jai.
Yeah.